Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Sarah Lancaster. Good morning.
Morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me back in studio.
So who do we say you're from today?
Extreme.
From Extreme.
Extreme Zero Waste.
We're talking, well, not but, we're talking plastic, and we're talking plastic.
Yes.
And I saw you on the TV last night.
Thanks, Aaron.
How did you enjoy being a TV star?
Oh, it was fun. What a whirlwind day it was. I took you to that film crew around town, and it was funny, a few people recognised Lucas from the show. When we were walking around the different spots in town. Yeah.
So that was 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, I'm not sure, on TV. How much time was it in real life to do all the filming?
Most of a day.
Most of a day.
Yeah. They weren't in a hurry. It was quite nice to just get as many shots as possible. And they said there's just so many cool things happening in Raglan around Rio, so it was going to be really hard to edit it down to 3.5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Afterwards, we were like, we didn't mention Extreme Waste in there, but
Yes, we were. Yep. You need to watch it a few more times, Aaron. We were with Lizzie up in the organics yard.
Oh, yes. Of
looking,
course, I did
talking
see that
about
bit.
The food, fruit stickers, and also, I guess I was in the Cahoo's Nest when I was chatting to camera with all the awesome crockery and glassware behind me.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And their beautifully rearranged shop.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Have you been up?
Yes, of course.
Oh, good.
Yes, we checked it out. I'm related to a staff member in the shop.
So yeah, that's true.
I have to go.
And the crew really wanted to show as many different examples around the community as possible, rather than focusing on a recycle centre itself. So, like, actually community action. And because it was all relevant to the single-use plastics ban, it's actually relevant to serveware and things where customers are buying things. So it's not necessarily recyclable containers and things that we're dealing with up at on-site and processing. It's more so, you know, customers and community making choices and retailers and hospitality making choices about what serveware and reusable systems they have on offer.
Yeah, and they seem to be on board. They seem to understand what they were reporting and reported it they had a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, but it was really fun. Yeah. Great crew to work with. And also the people that we went to visit, it's just, you know, it's normal for them. It's they believe in it, and it's their heart and soul go into not having throwaways and just, celebrating reuse systems that work.
And there seemed to be, I mean, the reporter was, did you say his name was Lucas?
Yes.
Who was making a big deal out of it could just take the cup and walk off thing. But I figure there's so many coffee mugs in the world now.
Yeah, and I guess they're all really kind of second hand, but the point of returning them, and I did want to reaffirm, like, borrow and bring back from library, from the book library, but also from mug libraries, so that these things go in a circular motion rather than a straight line. Because if you walk off with a cup and never bring it back, it's just a straight line. You need to be thinking about borrowing and returning thing, whether that's a plate or a fork or a cup.
Yeah,
yeah.
And from what the operator said on the TV, that they are coming back mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I was wondering if every now and again they need to do a run around town and pick them up off various places.
Yeah, some places will go to op shops and kind of stock up, but or ask us up at Extreme. And I always say, you know, it's really important when people are borrowing, say, to remind people, yeah, you can borrow it, just bring it back. And so reminding people that part of being a part of that system is the circle and the reuse, and please bring it back so that someone else can use it again.
And I guess it wouldn't matter if you dropped it off at a different cafe either.
Yeah.
It's
still going to be in the system.
As long as it went around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was cool. I thought they did a good job. I always worry about when TV crews come to town, whether they were on board with the message, they've got their own agenda, but that was really nicely done. And 1st of July, that is the big day. This one crept up on me. I sort of knew things were in the works, but this is, how significant are these changes, do you think?
I think it's really good. It's really good progress, because we banned the bag, is it 2019, maybe 2018?
Yeah, a while back, yeah.
Yeah, ban the plastic shopping bags, and that there's so many other items that are being used for such a short time. And for a lot of us here in Raglan, maybe we haven't seen a plastic fork or a plastic plate for a long time until you head to other towns and you see that reality. And polystyrene containers also were banned. And so now it's moving away from – so they've got a selection of items. They've got cutlery and straws – plates and bowls, plastic containers.
So plastic tableware, basically.
Plastic tableware. Yeah. The straws, though, they do say, like, for anyone who needs a straw for any reason, I think with disabilities and things, they...
Or if you've just been in hospital and operated on your mouth.
Yeah.
Or your throat.
Yeah, that you're allowed to... That straws can be available for those people. But through Plastic Free Raglan and Extreme Zero Waste, we've been... advocating for cafes and hospitality businesses to hide straws, paper straws or whatever straw.
Oh, just keep them out of sight.
Keep them out of sight and only grab them if they're requested. Because I request often for a cocktail, no straw, and then it comes out with a straw because the hospo worker is just on autopilot.
Yeah.
So part of removing them from that table system at a bar or a barista station, not that you drink coffee with a straw.
That's a bad move.
Is also like supporting a new system in-house because that autopilot, boom, boom, it's a straw in there or, you know, so changing that system to only putting a straw in on request.
I remember the day when I'd get straws and I didn't want straws. I just wanted to drink from the glass.
Yeah. It's just part of a look or something or aesthetic of a drink. But it's really cool to see Wild and The Shack both have metal straws for all of their smoothies and juices that you have in, which is great.
Yeah, and with the right brush, they're easy enough to clean out.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't wait like we do at home.
Yeah.
Before we wash things.
There was cutlery, tableware.
Yep.
Then there was plastic produce bags, which is those annoying, pesky, slippery things for putting your fruit and veggies in.
Yeah.
So not a grocery tote bag. Those were banned a long time ago. Raglan did it first. It was really great.
Yes.
No, this one is the fruit produce bag. So what do you get you probably have a garden at home or something like that, but what would you get your fresh produce in, Aaron? Do you use them? No judgment.
The question is, I'm really bad at remembering to bring the single-use bag. Oh, the not single-use bag. I'm really, really bad at remembering to bring the reusable bag. We try to leave them in the car.
Yeah.
But sometimes you might see me walking out of a shop with like apples in all my pockets and things like that.
Yeah. Because
I've been an idiot and forgotten my bag. we've had reusable bags for a long time.
Yeah.
Even before the ban came into effect. Yeah.
It's just when you are buying the fruit and veggies, so some people have their tote bags and stuff, but when they're going to buy a bunch of oranges or kumara, they need to put it in a bag to keep them all together. I just put them loose in the basket or the trolley.
But if we're doing a serious fruit shop, we've got all the bags with us for sure.
Yeah, so there's mesh bags. And Foursquare, we're giving away mesh bags as well. I think they've got some left, but they were doing like giveaway when you spent $20 something, you got a mesh bag. So they've been, kidding up the community for a while now on with having the right tools. But we just need to remember and forming the new habits to remember them, like you said.
See, easier for the younger ones to build those habits, I reckon. But
yeah, totally. But the mesh bags, well, it doesn't have to be mesh, just a lightweight bag, basically, that you can use for putting your produce in, or no bag. The regulation says that you can use paper bags, so I'm curious to see if supermarkets are going to have paper bags around in like the big supermarkets in the city in the produce section.
That's what we used to use. When I was a kid, it was all paper bags. Everything
and
was
Super
paper
Value
bags.
Has a really great stand right at the front with a whole bunch of paper bags. But I think they might have, correct me if I'm wrong, is there a price on them? I think the mushroom.
Don't know.
Okay. Yes. Another mushroom one. I mean, I would just grab the mushroom bag and then put other things in it.
Which is going to happen.
Yeah. If you like limes or something if you need.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not hard.
No.
For things like that, it's not hard. It's interesting, have you been talking to Jasmine at the Environment Centre about the plastic tableware situation? Because they've got some metal enamel plates and cups that they're going to hire out.
Yes, I did recently find out about that, which is really cool. And they're using it for their events in the community garden and things.
Yeah.
At Extreme, we've actually had a zero waste party kit in action in the community for many, many years. And it's been enjoyed even by you, Aaron, at the radio.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All of our gatherings that we've had for radio DJs has all been zero waste now. And it's been hired out for events at the town hall and also meetings and gatherings and community get-togethers. And what I do really like to celebrate about that is that it's all secondhand resources sourced locally. And we did chat about that on film. It didn't make the cut with Seven Sharp, but that's all good. I wanted to encourage other communities to just, you don't need to have lots of money to make a zero waste party kit. You don't have to apply for funding or things. You can just go and get whatever resources are available to you in your community. And, you know, at op shops or gather friends together to chip in some cutlery or some cups so you've got a hamper.
Yeah.
For your community group, for your friend group, for your whānau, so that, because often with the single-use plastic tableware, well, it's not necessarily a table, it's usually with picnics and events and things is when we opt for single-use. So we may not ever use takeaway packaging individually, but, you know, you're having a gathering and suddenly the single-use takeaway plates and cutlery comes out.
Yeah, and I do remember using that stuff, and I think we used it at Whangaroa Talent Factory as well. And,
yeah, all and the that's cups.
Coming up soon, so we better have a chat about that after the interview.
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways that you can set up a part, like an events kit. So now Whangaroa's got the option to get in touch with the Environment Centre or get in touch with Extreme, even though we are together as one now.
Oh, yeah, that's the point, yes. Well, administratively, there's still two separate physical locations.
So all the more reusables for Raglan to borrow for their events.
Yeah, yeah. And again, back to when I was a kid so long ago that we didn't have single-use plastic plates, we actually had in the house, we had a set of plates that were for picnics and things.
Yeah.
And actually, they were plastic, but they were
reusable.
Yeah, they lasted for years and years.
And they're really good because they're stackable too.
Yeah, and in those days, when they made plastic things, they usually made them better quality.
Mm.
So they did last for most of my childhood.
I've been looking for those sorts of things in secondhand stores, but people hold on to them. They're probably in batches and caravans and, camping kits
that's
being reused.
Yeah. But yeah, the options are definitely there. I wanted to talk about the plastic produce labels. I'm really excited that they're going.
Oh, the fruit stickers.
Yeah, the fruit stickers. They really annoyed me when they turned up. I was like, why have I got this stupid... It's a natural thing and they've stuck this unnatural thing on top of it.
Yeah, I think a big part of it was the traceability of stuff, so that if there was some sort of like issue with bugs or pesticides or something, they could trace and recall a whole lot of product.
Okay.
So I think that was and especially as the world became more like global with our with our kai, like I'm all for buying oranges when they're growing locally here.
Yeah.
But if we're going to buy an oranges from six different countries around the world so that people have oranges all year, they kind of need to be traceable. And then also they have different prices. And so you need to cut like an identification tag. So Liz was sharing yesterday more about like maybe there's some other options here. Cool compostable stickers might be the way that they're leading to, but then there could be other things like stamps, like that's with like natural inks or like things like that on the skins. And Lucas even suggested a shave on a kiwi fruit.
Yeah, you could shave a barcode into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could brand it, but I don't think that would really be what they want for the fruit to have a brand on it, but you could do a little heat brand, sear on a code or something.
Mm, yeah.
It depends if you eat the skin or not, and they might think that doesn't look very good. I don't know. I'm not an expert on these
things.
I love
eating kiwi skins.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, that's, I mean...
But that is a phase out, Aaron. That's not a ban. That's not banning on the first.
Okay.
It's as of 2025. So they're starting the phase out of the fruit stickers.
So that's a heads up. Look for some alternatives. And it's a chance for someone to come up with a creative solution.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
And in the meantime, like please, please don't put your fruit stickers in your compost at home or in your food waste.
They last through the whole hot compost process.
Yeah.
And that's what they showed last night as well.
Yeah, they're coming out. So
do you know how many come through? Is that actually a problem, as Liz been saying?
I mean, it's ebbs and flows actually with the plastic waste that comes through, but it's pretty well picked out. Like the bigger stuff can get picked out, and then we have a sieve at the end that all of the soil comes through.
Okay.
And then we can, you know, you can pick the things out. But I would just recommend putting your stickers on the outside of your caddy. Like, my neighbour had like this great collection of stickers all over the top of her kitchen caddy. So it was like before she put in the banana peel or the mandarin peel, she'd pull it off and just stick it to the top. Because it is just annoying. Like, where are you going to put it?
I know.
When you're having an apple on the go.
When I eat an apple on the go, I end up sticking it right in the centre of the bottom. So because that's then on the core part and you don't eat that bit.
Yeah, but where do you put your core?
Well, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly where I'm going with that. Like,
On like my drink bottle, or like there's a few on my keyboard.
I was driving my daughter's car the other day and I put it on the steering wheel.
Yeah, there's a few on my steering wheel.
She was a bit miffed about that.
Yeah, because an apple's a great roadie snack.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what the scenario was.
Yeah.
Can I ask about straws? Paper straws. I know there's issues with all sorts of paper plates and things like that they've got chemicals in them that we don't really know what they are, and putting them in the compost is a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
Does the same apply for the paper straws as well?
I think because when you drink out of a paper straw, it kind of goes to mush quite quickly. So I think they are pretty much paper. The reason that people put other chemicals into other serveware is to make them a little grease-proof so that, you know, they aren't collapsing under your burger or your samosa or something.
Yes.
Whereas... Yeah, sometimes if I get given a straw with drinking a cocktail or something like a longer, slower drink, then it does end up disintegrating halfway through, which is frustrating. But yeah, the PFAS, which is like that same nonstick stuff that is on your frying pan at home, there's been parts of that found in some compostable packaging and the bagasse packaging.
Yeah.
So, and that doesn't need to go in soils. As Liz was saying, it doesn't add any value to soils. If we were to take compostable packaging, and commercial composters all over the country are saying no to compostable packaging because they don't want to fill up their systems.
It's not nutritious.
It's not helpful.
It's not nutritious. It's not nutritious in terms of what the soil needs.
Yes, it's not adding any value. And what I learned yesterday from what Liz was sharing online is that all the different packages require different things in order to break down. And so you can't just all chuck them in one compost and hope for the best.
Right. Okay. Different temperatures, different quality.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's compostable if you burn it first. Well, that's what I've been... Although that's the absurdity of it. Like, you can say anything is compostable. Right.
Oh, if you're putting in ash. Yeah, but where have all the chemicals gone?
Yeah, I know. That's it. That's exactly it. Like, I just imagine someone out there is saying, oh, it's compostable, you just have to burn it first. Like, it's an absurd thing, but it's almost at that point, I think, with some of the items. So
we had a cool tour group yesterday. Tokoroa Intermediate came around, and they were real curious because they got great worm farms and things at their school, and they were real curious about, you know, the difference between putting your banana peels and stuff in landfill and in a compost, and it having like air and bacteria and good bugs to break it down in a compost system. So that's what we're wanting, is to create nutritious soil that we can put onto our marakai, our veggie gardens.
Well, it has to be certifiable. It is certified compost. That's the work that Liz did, was to make sure it was certified by whatever the standards organisation is. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be full of cardboard that's got no beneficial material in it, it's just filler, that might change. So
and I also argue that there's just so much energy that have gone into making a paper plate or eco-friendly plate for you to eat a cookie off or a pie off, you know, it's like whatever off it, like you may as well just use a real plate. Like so many times I go, I'm like, can I just get a scone in my hand? Like, I don't need it on a plate in a paper bag with a serviette. It's going to take me a minute. Well, I don't know how long it takes you to eat a scone. Sometimes I'm hungrier, so it goes in a minute.
The takeaways are the hardest one, because people can get takeaways, and especially after COVID, this happens a lot more, get takeaways from a restaurant. So it's not like fish and chips, which you just wrap in paper. There's lots and lots of places now where you go, and they're trying hard. They're trying to use recyclable plastics or forms of cardboard.
Yeah.
But it's still, in the long term, we're going to see that as an imperfect solution, aren't we?
Well, it is, because all of those, you know, the eco-friendly choice at a cafe or a restaurant, as you say, are spending more on sustainable products. But then you go have your burger looking at the sea and then you put it in the street bin. And so your cardboard or your eco-friendly plant-based package is going to landfill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're not going to solve that one immediately, but on 1st of July, we definitely won't be using plastic tableware, plastic produce bags, plastic drinking straws, and they're going to start phasing out those annoying little stickers on the fruit, which I don't know why that's the one that I like the most, even though they're tiny and they, you know, compared to those other issues. I wanted to reflect a little bit on the work done in Raglan, because I was worried that people might say, oh, all this plastic-free stuff that happened in Raglan was a waste of time because the regulations came in anyway. But I think the regulations came in part because of the work that was done here.
Yeah.
It's part of the build-up that happens, because governments won't put in legislation if they think no one's going to follow it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things that people have been campaigning on things, and the government's doing nothing, and the government behind the scenes is like, we know we haven't got the population behind us on this, and they're too, you know, they don't want to push it through, and you saw how our government, after the terrorist attack in Christchurch, suddenly leapt on the gun issue. They knew that was their moment to get it through.
Yeah,
when there was a huge amount of public support. Yeah, so the work that's done in places like Raglan, this is what Raglan's all about to me, is that we initiate these processes and get them going, and then the tourists come here and they see us, and there were articles and magazines and online, and gradually the word spreads. But also, Sarah, the work just to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we can't use plastic bags, what is there in the supply chains for people to use as an alternative? And that was a big question at the start of Plastic Free Raglan.
Yeah, and back then it was plastic bag free Raglan.
Yeah.
And then there was and Bagot also. There was like the Sewing Bee. So it was like communities coming together to make the resources available, because there's reusable solutions for so many things that existed long before single use even came into play. So it's like having your own bag that you take to the shop. Like, you don't leave the house without your shoes or your jacket when it's raining.
And I remember, I think June was working for Plastic Bag Free Raglan then, and she did the survey with all the business owners, and they were like, okay, if we don't use a plastic bag, what are we using? And so Plastic Bag Free Raglan did the work of finding suppliers who supplied alternative, like paper bags. So now you go to a clothes shop and you get your clothing item. If you take it in a bag, it's in a paper bag.
Yeah.
And we were doing, I mean, that's everywhere now, but back then they almost had to rebuild supply chains for paper bag production. And so Plastic Bag Free Raglan did a lot of that work, finding companies who were interested in doing that and getting it all going.
And also trying to get it ahead of time, because a lot of people buy their stock. I mean, you know, they're stocked up with all of their plastic bags or all of their forks. And
oh, yeah, they've got 10,000 plastic bags out the back.
So it's like, you give some people some time to get through their stock.
Yeah.
Or people are feeling bad for, like, the plastic bag manufacturers. And they've had plenty of time to know.
Well, they can transition to paper bag manufacturing. These are big companies doing it. They've got, you know, they've got the financial infrastructure to do that if they want to.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been so many great champions in the community throughout this whole journey. Plastic Bag Free Raglan and the Bagot, the Sewing Bee Days, and the Time Bank Ladies.
Sorry, I've lived in the middle. How many bags did the Bagot ladies make?
That's a great question. It wasn't all ladies. How am I supposed to know the answer to that?
I think it was like 1,000. Like 1,000?
Sorry. I think I was traveling around the country at the time teaching people to sew bags in my van.
Oh, so you weren't doing that here?
I wasn't doing it here.
It was Vicky Beebe was organizing that.
Yeah, Vicky was great. Yeah. And also there was boomerang bags that was popping up. And so every community that I went to and like popped up at a farmer's market or something, or alongside op shops, and getting people to make their own reusable bags, and then trying to talk to local champions, and then get people on board to like keep those sewing bees going. And boomerang bags was something that was happening across Australia and Bali, I think, and New Zealand. So it was similar to Ugly Mug Libraries, is like a bag at the door. And I think Bagot and also the Raglan Upcycling Co-op ladies had done that here. with having things available. They also did these really cool glass jars with cloth wraps around them for early day keep caps.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember now too, those Bagot bags, they had a stamp on the cloth, and then they cut that out and stuck it on as a label, sewed it on as a label. And then they became a hot item that people wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were great for giving as gifts and things.
And they were very stylish. People were actually, yeah, they wanted them.
Yeah.
It was a fashion item.
There we go.
And that's part of the build up to where we've got now where the legislation comes through.
Yeah.
Is that you build a vibe around it. I know we're talking about this off the air before. That's the only way I can think to describe it.
Aaron's all about the vibe.
It's all about the vibes, man. We're in hippie raglan now.
Yeah.
But it's not that. That's the thing, right? It's not just hippie raglan. Like this is innovation happening here and finding a way forward. That's really what this is.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be like out the box. It's just normalizing reuse.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's making it simple and easy. We may have to create some new habits and, you know, we're battling with convenience stuff. So as I was saying on air last night, like if we can make reusables convenient, then we are challenging those single-use things. So having your snackage package or your cutlery in your glove box, or having keep cups in different locations, having stuff at work, having stuff at home, having stuff in your car. And also, as I said before, you don't need to go buy the expensive shiny things. You don't need a fancy new keep cup. Just a mug will do. Or go to your op shop and find a click-clack container.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a nice tiffin or something like that. There's plenty of resources that we already have on our planet. We just need to go to an op shop and get kitted up.
Yeah.
All right. And that in itself is reuse and circular economy.
Yeah, and so the op shops are incredibly important as well, like Cahoe's Nest, and like the community house has got an op shop as well.
Yeah.
All around the place, the Lions. Yeah.
I don't have my bag or my plate or click-clack with me, I go to the Lions and get something to go get sushi.
Right.
Yeah. Or I have borrowed a mug there in the Ugly Mug Library and just said, can I just get 3 pieces of sushi in this mug?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's an easier way. Mugs feel like an easy thing to carry around.
Yeah.
Click-clack feels slightly more. It's amazing how much we got used to convenience. I mean, it's ridiculous that I'm even saying that. I'd prefer a mug to a click-clack box because it's smaller. But that's the level of convenience we have got used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a strange world.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for us to wrap up into the show. We've been talking to Sarah Lancaster from Extreme Zero Waste and talking about the changes coming through on 1st of July. Is everyone ready for this, Sarah?
I think we are in Raglan. You know, the alternatives that the government are advising are reusables or paper items. And so pretty much all hospitality businesses here are on either reusable option. They're gladly accepting your clean reusables or paper and cardboard compostable options. Yeah.
And I know you wanted to play a song. I think we'll just play it after the news bulletin, not the news, was it the ad break
ads.
Is played that we have to go to next. So it was going to be, who's this? Salt?
Salt.
No, Salt's the album.
Half Moon Run.
Half Moon Run's the band. And the song we're going to play is
Goodbye Carly.
Goodbye, Carly. Okay, so folks, stand by for the ads and then the song will come back. There's a reason to stick around.
Thanks for having me in studio, Aaron.
Anytime, Sarah.
And can I just say thanks to all of Raglan for being awesome at reusing, and thank you to the cafes and the hospitality businesses and the accommodation providers who have been doing a lot of epic mahi to work towards zero waste. So thank you to everyone.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, folks, end of the show for the day. As we heard, there's going to be a song playing next, so stay on for that.